Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dr. Drew looking snappy today.
Oh, that's right. There are cameras here.
Nice-looking shirt.
You like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like that shirt.
Oh, yeah. You want
nice.
You want to have it?
Yeah, where'd you get that? Barney's in New York?
No, it's an old...
Oh, you just threw it on.
No, it's like something I never wear. I just don't like it. It's too heavy, and I'll give it to you. Because
right.
I don't like it.
Could I have it now?
No, I have it after tonight.
Okay.
I'll go home without a shirt. It's all right.
Well, you're coming by after the show anyway.
Oh.
Thursday. Well, no.
Susan's listening.
This isn't gay. This part.
Okay.
Thursday night, Drew and I meet over at my place about 12:30 after the show, and we go over tapes of the week's shows. And what we'll do is it's called air checks.
Till about 5 a.m.
Till about 5 a.m. unless we run into a problem. I mean, we hear something we don't like. For instance, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a problem with a Tuesday night show. And
we
kept going over it and over and over.
The program director and he came over.
I paged him. Yeah, we got him up. He came by. And Drew and I just, we comb over the show. And then what we do is I got one of these big full-size Marks-A-Lot boards and we start going over strategies for next week. Is it that or do we both show up on Sunday and wonder who the guest is?
All right, Drew.
Start earning your money, buddy. Let's go now.
All right.
Let's focus. Here we go.
We got cameras here tonight again doing stuff on ecstasy. And so if we have any ecstasy call, people that experience with the drug, side effects, good or bad.
Right.
Let us know.
Okay. Let's start by talking to CC's 22. CC?
CC?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I've been with two guys, and the first one was a 3-year relationship, and he had a really big penis. And the second one, he's like average.
Yep.
And I didn't feel anything like on the second guy, and I'm concerned that maybe, is there a possibility that maybe if you have sex with like maybe too much or with a big penis or something, maybe your hole can get big and you just don't feel anything anymore? Maybe
yep. No, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
If you kept going with that logic after a child, it would be inconceivable to have sex with a male. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's an area of your body that's designed to recoil back to normal. I think you may have maybe liked or got spoiled by or something the first time.
Well, we all know what it's like to be spoiled by a huge penis. I remember my high school days. Cece?
Yeah.
Does the second guy know about this?
Yeah, actually, I let him know, like, right there. I told him, I'm not feeling it. I'm on a dry spell all of a sudden.
So is he still alive?
I was just not feeling it anymore, and I got off of him, and I told him that I wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the thing is...
See, that's why I take the pull string for the blinds, wrap it around my neck, and then dive out of the window, hoping I'm on the second
right
story.
Then.
Yep.
What a gambling, CC.
Did you...
Show
no, two guys only. You've only been with two guys your whole life, right?
Yeah.
And did you tell the second guy, though, about the size of the first guy's penis?
You know what? That's all I talk about, because I'm, like, I have an obsession now. I get to swing, I have, like, maybe a notion that, like, if I don't get either equal or more penis mass or something, that I won't.
Now you're ready to gamble?
It's, like, in my mind.
Right.
So I think it's, like, I'm having an obsession with big penises now, and maybe that's why I'm, like, getting off on something
but
smaller.
But did you tell the second guy about this?
Yeah,
that's all she talks about.
I mean, you're telling him about his penis is half the size of the first guy's?
Oh, it's not half the size.
I tell
it's a lot less.
If I ever see a penis and it's smaller than my ex's, I always mention that my ex was like huge.
But how many penises have you seen? You've only been with two guys.
I mean, I always see. I'm a big cock tease, so you know how it is.
You want to gamble yet?
Yeah, okay, all right.
Okay. I didn't bring my wallet.
Hold on, does being a CT actually mean you actually tease the penis? I thought it meant, you know, you sort of rubbed up on the guy. I didn't know you actually made fun of the penis itself. I mean, being a CT, I'll call the CT because I'm not sure we're allowed to say the CT's part. But what I'm saying is do you actually, does that translate into looking at a lot of penis?
I think it's translated quite a bit more for her.
Okay, gentleman's bet, because I don't have any money either.
All right. Like some sort of chaotic... Okay, exposed to a ton of sex in their home, like this. She's talking about their parents having sex.
Hippie,
sex on the
hippie parents hippie who parents, were getting it on in the jacuzzi in front of the kids.
Yeah.
All right, but I'm going to go a little angrier at the dudes.
All right.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go prick dad, never around, too caught up in his business.
All right.
Lawyer type. Cece?
Yeah.
What'd your dad do for a living?
My dad actually owns a restaurant in Boston.
Aha!
So what happened growing up?
Nothing.
All right.
My dad's great.
You love him?
I adore him.
Okay. Are you good looking?
Well, I think I'm pretty good looking. I'm really conceited. No, I'm not really conceited. I'm just pretty confident.
Okay. And, what's the part about being a CTs?
I'm not like insecure or anything, and I think when you're not insecure and you think pretty highly.
No.
Hold on, just for fun, Drew. Just for fun.
When you're selective.
Drew, just for fun. Let's just roll. So you're pretty self-assured?
No, I'm just saying like.
I mean, you know what you like, and you get it, right?
I'm just saying when you know.
Okay, that's confidence, right?
You know what? I tell them before. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything with you.
Right.
So
okay.
They still stick around. That's their problem.
Right. You're a strong, confident woman. Right?
Well, what are you going to do now?
Did your dad cheat or something? What's your dad in Boston?
Cece's such a bitch. She can't even agree. If you go along with her, she won't even agree.
I know. So why's your dad in Boston?
Oh, everything's great.
No.
You love penis.
No. You'll see.
All right.
My parents had a bad relationship, but I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Oh, nothing. Of course nothing. That's why I'm asking all the questions about it.
All right.
Why did he leave?
He didn't leave. They just separated when I was like 10, though. So that's the thing.
And why did she leave?
They were both cheating on each other. It was a big mess. They were supposed to be.
I was just getting a strong cheating vibe.
All right. Your parents hippie parents?
No, not at all.
Were you exposed to a lot of sexual material when you were growing up?
I was a really horny kid. Like.
Were you exposed to a lot of sexual material growing up?
No. No, okay. I exposed myself. Well, I wasn't exposed. I exposed myself. Does that make sense?
All right, let me rephrase my
question. Who cares? Cece, you're hot. Have a good life. And get married before you get fat.
Did you see a lot of
sexual... You're not going to do anything with her. Are you kidding?
But we can
why don't you go up to Mount Rushmore and see what kind of modifications you can make on Washington's head?
Well, we can make a point.
Wait, is he on there?
We can make a point of this. Everything's perfect. I'm just so sure.
I'm tired of it.
Blatant narcissism is what this is.
I know.
Different.
Cece.
Yeah.
You like big penis, fine.
Yeah.
Break up with the guy
what happens to some women that have real chaotic breakups, and particularly when there's a lot of ambivalent feelings about men and maybe hatred, the penis becomes like a symbol of power, and that's it. It's like the magic phallus that they have to get control of. They don't feel complete or whole or safe without it.
Hmm.
And they have to be sort of in control of it and dominate it. And the guys don't really exist. They're just represented by the magic phallus that she has to control.
Yeah, they're just like golf carts that carry penises.
And it suggests some really serious attachment problems early on, some maybe sexual abuse or exposure to sexual material at a young age, and then the cheating we heard about with her parents.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's screwed up people that call this show all the time and know they're screwed up and are looking for help, and then there's screwed up people that call the show who
like
to announce that there's nothing wrong with them and they need help.
But
those people can just go blow themselves.
But
I don't care.
To be able to pull the curtain back on those people, because those people are the ones that go on the news programs and talk about how wonderful things are and how great they're
going.
Yeah, their behaviors are normal, should be glorified. It's just merely her, exploring her sexuality, which is BS.
Right. She likes big penis. There's nothing wrong with her. Keep chasing it, Cece, and I'll see you in rehab. Adam?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love you, too. All right.
Thanks.
First of all, Adam, you are the king and of literally outlawed radio. It's outlawed in the western part of my state. You know that Jerry Falwell is truly doing the Lord's work.
I have no idea what he's saying.
I don't either.
What are you saying?
Okay.
Okay.
Jerry Falwell has literally outlawed YouTube in the western part of the state.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't even know we exist.
He banned MTV out there.
Oh, he banned us when we were on MTV.
No, he banned the show, the radio show, too.
Oh. How does he do that? In the western part of Virginia?
Yeah.
We were in West Virginia. We went to the college over there.
Yeah.
Not West Virginia, Western Virginia.
Oh. Oh.
He has a lot of money.
Oh,
sorry.
Hold on. Drew, is there... Is there a difference between Western Virginia and West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia.
And if so, why? I mean, is that confusing?
But the state has to have a western or eastern end.
Right.
West Virginia is a different state.
Oh. Well, there's Virginia, then there's West Virginia, and then there's Western Virginia.
And there's Western West Virginia and Eastern West Virginia.
I'm going to straighten this whole thing out. Yeah. When I'm in charge, states, numbers. Don't get numbers. West Virginia. First off, West Virginia and Virginia.
One
number.
Yeah.
I don't want to go higher than 50. 44. Yeah. All right. So, anyway. Please tell me West Virginia and Virginia are near each other, right?
Yes.
They're right there,
yeah.
Right?
It used to be part of Virginia.
Oh, good. All right.
All right, what's up, Adam?
All right, first of all, I'm wondering, you know how chicks' wiring will get real screwy?
Yes.
Like, you know, they'll seek out chaotic relationships and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there any wiring in, like, that can get screwed up in guys where they seek out girls who have, like, chaotic past?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And it's called codependency.
And, well, I mean, it's like...
I
live in a, you know, normal house, sane family, everything, you know, family's nice and everything, you know, I don't ultra love my parents and they're pretty good people, but it's like 4 out of the 5 last girlfriends have all had insane parents and I don't get it.
Well, somehow you growing up were probably made responsible for your parents' feelings. Some people consider these attachment problems where you weren't sort of given enough of the nourishment that you needed, that there was some leftover God knows what that your parents had that they were still having ambivalent feelings about that got kind of acted out when they were trying to raise you. They weren't available in the way you needed them to be to grow, for your brain literally to grow the way it needed to grow.
Yeah, but also, Drew, these girls who come from screwed up environments are hot and they have the power of allurement, if that's a word.
Yes.
And they can trick 17-year-old guys all the time.
Yes, that's
you get a little bit older, you get a little savvy, you've been around the block a few hundred times, and you start to see it a little earlier on. Mm-hmm. You start seeing the signs.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 17, you don't know that much about women.
Mm-hmm.
And these women are very good at being attractive to men.
They fetishize themselves. Those are the ones that sexualize everything.
Right. And so you get sucked into that. So it's not so much that you're attracted to screwed up women. It's that screwed up women are attractive and you like women.
But the fact that he does it repeatedly and he seems to want to fix them and he's, you know, just suggests that he was made to be a parent early on in his life, basically, parenting his parents.
Right. But if he also realizes it and gets out of the relationship, then it also means that he doesn't have a bad problem,
mm-hmm.
especially
mm-hmm.
at that young age. All right, Adam, have fun there in West.
No, he's in Virginia.
No, he's just in West.
He couldn't be in West.
He's in Virginia. He's in the western part of Virginia.
No, he must be in the eastern part because he knows that this show was outlawed in the western part.
Are you in the western part of Virginia?
I'm in the eastern part.
See?
And Adam, you've missed a couple things on these 80s shows, things that never come up now.
All right.
What?
All right. First of all, the numbered plans, you know, like plan 1 didn't work, so you got to go to plan 2, and it always ends up being like plan 9 that works.
Yeah.
And then the schematics of the place. Everyone always gets blueprints of the place so they can map it out.
What place?
Any place. I mean, that they're breaking into.
Yes.
Blueprints used to be a big deal.
Right, right.
I got the blueprints of the bank.
Right.
I got the blueprints of the federal building.
Right.
Get over here. And it would always go into, they never actually looked at them. They would just show the part where they would open up the blueprints, as if lay people can read blueprints. And blueprints are just a bunch of, they're really hard to read. I mean,
yeah.
I used to read them all the time and for years, and I still couldn't figure them out half the time. And they just, you know, blueprints have a bunch of stuff that say like, HD 35 Simpson straps, place 4 foot on center, every other bay, you know, half inch all thread sunk, 18 inches in tied in with with the number 4 rebar cage.
Now
and stuff.
I see how we're gonna break in. Now I get it.
You know how we're getting in, right?
Yeah.
We're going through the grade beam, which is made with the number 4 rebar, and the mud sill, which is 2x4 treated. All right.
All right.
Jeff.
Yes.
22?
Excuse me?
You're 22?
All right, great. Yes, sir.
What's up, buddy?
I have a hard time with women.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself, I think I'm fairly attractive. I'm successful. I own my own company.
What a
CEO.
All right.
What kind of company is it?
Consulting company. We do business technology consulting. And fairly high tech. But I'm not too much the turbo geek, so to speak.
He's not? You're not a geek?
No. I don't think I am, at least.
All right.
And most people tell me I'm not.
I see.
Very much can relate to other people when I talk to them, most of the time at least.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
But just for some reason, I can never find a decent girl. It's like the crazy ones are always attracted to me, and I don't know what to do. Every time I go out there, eventually I'll meet one.
Yeah.
Even if I try, or even if I don't try, eventually I'll meet
one. Hold on, Seth. Phone's driving me nuts.
You'll meet one, what, a crazy one?
Well, if he goes out, he'll meet a crazy woman, even if he's trying or not trying to meet a woman.
Hmm.
I think a guy like this who's really into his business, not in school, young, he's got to rely on his friends.
Does I was he just going to say, or even in one of those services to meet people, so to increase the efficiency.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Buy a whore. I agree. Jeff.
Yeah.
Drew says, get a whore.
No.
That's what I heard him say.
No, not those services. There are dating services out there that I have friends in your kind of position that use, and they're very happy with it.
Yeah, but the dating services are really, really expensive, and they guarantee no results about...
They're very expensive, but it increases the efficiency of the marketplace for you.
Yeah. Well, it's not even an efficient marketplace. I have plenty of time to go out and meet all the people I need to meet. It's just the ones that seem to be attracted to me and the ones I seem to meet are just a little bit odd in the end.
What are you looking for?
That's not even the point. What I'm looking for, actually, for my age, I feel that I'm a pretty... homely kind of person, and I tend to like
homespun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Home is always fun.
Right.
Make it fun.
All right. Oh, Jesus Christ. He's so successful, he can't afford a decent goddamn cell phone.
Technology consultant.
All right. Listen, he was telling us that. Oh boy, Jeff. Jeff sounded boring, didn't he?
A little.
Little one.
I mean, a strong word. You know what the word schizoid means?
Yeah.
Kind of flat and not there so much. Hard to contact emotionally.
Yeah. Like everyone in our business.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know who you're talking to. You're just talking to like a painted mask.
I'm trying not to be pejorative or judgmental of the guy, but that's just the feeling you get from him. And when he's out there in the marketplace trying to connect with people in sort of superficial environments, that's the feeling they're going to be going by.
Well,
maybe he's a dynamic, very warm and empathic guy when he settles down a little bit with somebody, but he's got to get to that point.
Right.
How he presents himself, and there's nothing wrong with him. That's just how he is. And
he says he's successful, but then he says he can't afford the dating service. I don't know. I think those dating services, I know we make fun of them and everything, but the ones that are sort of legit,
uh-huh. They
just give you a whole big list of people. Get to tell you what age they are.
Who you matched up with. The people just spend the week, they meet 30, 50 people, and the ones that seem to work together, they go out with.
It's crazy. They got this, I work with this guy, did this Jewish date thing. Had a new Jewish chick every, I don't know how great that is, but he had a new date every, he was going on dates like three times a week. They just keep coming. They just line them up, and you just mow them down with your penis.
God.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I don't know what to tell you because you're meeting a lot of people. I think you should try that dating thing too. But you got to be yourself. I mean, don't talk about your business. I know you're a go-getter and everything. I'm not sure if you're giving people the right sense of yourself.
Right.
The last thing I talk about anytime I go out is about my business. And I almost feel like sometimes I should. Because I feel like that might make more of an attraction to most of the women that I meet.
All right. Start talking about your business. That's what I mean.
But again, he's very cold and emotional. You know what I mean? Not a lot of affect attached to...
Yes. Women hate a stiff.
Yeah, they really want...
Women would be much more, because they're so stupid, those women. They would be much more attracted to the guy who sat there and talked about killing himself over dinner than one who just sat there and went like... I like white bread with mayonnaise on it, and I enjoy a nice American automobile.
That's my main mayonnaise.
I'm a Taurus fan. I like a V6. I'm not a V8 guy, but I'm willing to step into a V6. I like a nice beige velour interior. And I root for whatever sports team is doing well at the time. That's what I'm about. I got one of those mustaches that doesn't look very good on me, but I insist on wearing it. Wouldn't they rather have a guy who's like threatening to kill himself? There's something to do.
They call it emotionally significant conversation. When the conversation is emotionally significant, they're in.
I'm completely convinced I could go out to dinner, explain to a girl how I tried to commit suicide on a number of occasions, and a couple of bisexual experiences, and reel her in more than going on a date with her and just talking about nothing and being sort of flat.
Provided that you didn't seem desperate or need her because of these awful feelings you were having.
Right.
In fact, now that you not need her, you don't want her around. Your man who plays by his own rules.
Yeah.
Then you're in.
Yeah. I'd tell her, like, well, I tried to kill myself a couple of years ago because my girlfriend wanted me too much physically. You know? It was a lot of pressure. I couldn't cope. And the bisexual experience, same thing. I was just getting tired of women pawing at me.
All right, now, listen, I need more calls on ecstasy. Just for the camera here, we're doing a show down in documentary down in San Diego area that we'd had some calls on the air a couple weeks ago or a month ago. And they want a few more. And if you guys call in with questions about ecstasy, we'd appreciate it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Josh. He has an ecstasy question after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Now, next week, Tony Hawk's coming in here. Hawk is an appropriate last name for Tony because he's in here hawking crap every 4 months. Tony's a real good guy. Man, he's found a way to make money out of that skateboarding. Jesus Christ. It's a skateboard, for Christ's sake. Do you know what I mean?
That's incredible.
Your dad would have flipped his lid if you would have told him you were going to make some kind of living doing something with skateboarding. It's crazy.
Yeah. Any dad.
I don't know what his parents ever told him, but Jesus Christ, it's multi millions of dollars. And I know it breaks down to videos and all that kind of stuff, but ultimately it's the skateboard that got him there.
And the games. And the
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Tony Hawk is coming in on Sunday. Jeremy Piven, who's an actor who's been in, like I said, more movies than have actually been produced.
It's amazing.
I stand by that statement.
I believe you.
Donna DeArco and Nikki Six in here from Motley Crue also next week. So, got a good bunch of people lined up for you, Josh.
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
All right, my question is for Dr. Drew. And I heard a lot of people tell me that if you have sex while you're on ecstasy, it kind of like ruins your sex drive. I really don't know if that's true. So is there like any proof that
I think, Josh, the folklore is that somehow if you have sex while high on E, it's never going to be good again. It sort of ruins it for the rest of your life, right? Yeah. That's what you heard?
Yeah.
That's a load of nonsense. The reality, though, is that if you use it more than a couple of times, there's a potential of it knocking out the cells of a region of your limbic system that maintains your mood. And you can get depressed and have a very dramatic drop in your sex drive as a result of that. So that's right. What can happen.
All right. I also have another question.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on a second. I've taken this X before. Listen, everybody out there. Everyone gets so magical about stuff. Here's the thing about X. It's about almost every drug. You feel high. Sometimes you feel a little better. Some drugs you feel a little more effed up. X, you feel a little sped up, you feel a little better, okay? If you have sex, it's like you're having sex on a good day, basically. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look, we all know what it's like to finish a workout, maybe hear some good news, have a cup of coffee, and be heading out of the house and feeling good.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got a full tank and a wind in your sail and not a care in the world.
Right.
And you're energized. You're happy, whatever.
Right.
That's about what it is. I mean, look, if you drop a bunch of tabs and you're in some rave and there's a big bass boom box pumping in your head and a bunch of psychedelic light experiences going on, well, that's something else. But I'm just saying, people think they're going to do some X and then have sex and basically explode with sensuality.
Yeah.
It ain't it.
And people are carrying around a lot of unpleasant feelings with them, and they need to kind of dissociate from those feelings. They feel better because they're not feeling as bad. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like taking a pain medication for many people.
Right. If there's if there's hurt there, then it'll go away, and you'll feel better. But if there's no hurt, then it doesn't do a whole lot for you. All right, Josh.
What's your other question?
I want to know the damaging effects of dextromethorphan. Like, what does it do to your mind or...
New pronunciation.
Dextromethorphan?
Yeah.
You mean DMA?
When you fart into a syrup bottle?
Dextromethorphan cough syrup?
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. I've looked into this a couple of times. I've not seen any long-term complications from it. It's hallucinogenic, and therefore I'm expecting to see problems with sort of anatomic injury to the brain, but I've not seen any yet.
All right. What about damaging effects to the body? Like,
not that I'm aware of. There have been a couple of cases. Oh, what did I read about? Let's put it this way. It's certainly not common to see a lot of serious stuff from it yet. There were some reports of overdose in it, and I can't remember what the syndrome was that people got into.
All right. But aren't you guys at 18 supposed to be going to the liquor store and trying to get dudes who drive El Caminos and have long hair to buy you six packs of Mickey's Big Mouth? Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing at 18? Are you doing clinical research? Do you know what I mean? You're opening a pharmacy in your bedroom. What's going on? That scares me at 18 to really be sort of hell-bent on getting effed up.
Oh, there's a lot of that, though.
Oh, there is?
A lot of that. No, that's like they're playing pharmacist.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're supposed to try to get your older brother to score you beer at 18 and smoke a little reefer. You're not supposed to. That's what God wanted. Okay, Drew?
Okay. No wonder Jerry Falwell has us off in Western Virginia.
Who am I to go against what God and Jerry want? Raymond?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
You smoke an ounce of weed a week?
Roughly an ounce, yeah. And I go through two packs of cigarettes a day on the average.
All right.
About 3 months ago, I just completely stopped having erections altogether.
Good times.
Yeah. You want to know if that's from the weed and the smokes?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've heard theories that smoking cigarettes in itself can cause impotence.
It can, but it takes about 30 to 60 pack years to get that under your belt. If it were really, by the age of 28, if you could become impotent from vascular disease from cigarettes, the whole continent of Europe would be impotent, basically.
Yeah.
And people smoke so much in other parts of the world, and yet you don't see that. So, and yet marijuana, we see it all the time. And it's usually in concert with a mood disorder. So, have you been depressed lately?
No. I've been high lately.
Yeah. Smoking 2 ounces of weed a week, did you say?
No.
Or smokes an ounce?
Roughly.
An ounce of weed? That's a fair amount of weed.
Yeah, it's good stuff, too.
It's quite a bit of weed. Why? So you must just be baked constantly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that eventually has an effect on your body.
What do you do? Are you able to work?
That is in direct correlation to my work.
You
sell weed?
I sell other things, but that's the only one I do.
Oh, you sell drugs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you just have to sort of hang out in your sweatpants and deal with guys like you?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, it's just...
You don't have to get out of the house.
Well, 3 months ago... No, see, here's the thing, though. 3 months ago, like I said, I just stopped completely. I don't get them at all.
Right.
Used to be I'd wake up in the morning and...
Yeah.
Do you drink a lot, too?
Yeah, I'm drinking right now.
All right. So alcohol is another way that you can actually get... Alcohol can cause a nerve damage down in that area, and you can get that. It can also... You can get liver... If you get sufficient amounts of nerve damage, yeah. But you can also become diabetic from chronic pancreatic damage. You can get liver disease. There are other things that can affect your hormonal systems quite profoundly.
But at 20, you shouldn't be able to knock down your penis that fast.
Mm, he's really doing it up. You do any speed, too?
No, I don't do anything but drink and smoke.
Yeah.
And
well, smoke. Interestingly, in the time frame in which you've been doing cigarettes, they're not likely to have done much of anything. They will eventually, another 10 years or so, and you'll be right in there.
Hey, Raymond, how about you slow down the weed and the booze a little and see if the old peckerwood comes back?
He can't do that.
Well, he can't if you say he can't, but I'm empowering him.
I just, well, see, that's just it. I wanted to, like, find out if that would have anything to do with it, because I was thinking about going on Zyban for the cigarettes anyway, and if I do that, I'm going to have to quit drinking. But I wanted to know, you know, like, which one of those I would have to quit, because I can't quit them all.
Right, right. Well, I would say, I'd say start with the weed. See what that does. Why don't you try quitting the weed for a week? See if the bonage comes back.
All right.
And should he see a doctor, Drew?
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, it could be diabetic.
See a doctor?
Mm.
Okay. Right. Sounds like he's carved himself out quite a life over there.
Good boy.
Jesus Christ.
That's about as far into it as you can get.
Hold on. Let's just all close our eyes and picture what Raymond's comforter smells like. You know what I mean? Just a nice collective inhale here.
Bong water.
Weed. Maybe,
JD.
I'm getting some Cheez-Its. He may be eating in bed.
Oh.
Megan?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, there's this girl in my PE class. Her name's like Justine or something, but she told me, like, all of a sudden she just started hanging out with me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, I don't know, she's just always kind of weird. We didn't, like, I'm nice to everyone, I'm, like, friends with everyone, so I didn't really tell her, you know, go away or anything like that. But then, like, all of a sudden one day she's like, Megan, I need to tell you something. And so I was like, okay. So she comes up to me and she tells me that she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's great. And I just kind of, like, you know, slowly walk away.
Sure.
And, like, she just, like, wanted me to say something, and she's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, cool. And yeah. I just, like, walked away.
Well, she probably has a crush on you.
That's disgusting.
Well, it's not as though you can't maintain the boundaries with this relationship. It's all right. She's lesbian.
She's, like, really nice and everything. But
right, good. Then treat her nicely. Treat her respectfully.
The thing is, she changes right next to me, and, like, whenever, like, I'm changing, like, she stares at my boobs.
Yeah,
that's a little weird.
Oh, nice bra.
No, she does not. She does not.
Thanks. I swear to God, she does.
Yeah.
Why is Megan working her name in?
That's what worries me, too.
Sorry. Yeah. But,
hold on a second. Hold on. See, Megan is either a diabolical genius or just insanely dumb, because she's working her friends, she's working this lesbian's name in, which is very suspicious, because you're talking about somebody at school.
Right.
You may have other people from that school listening. She's
right.
Checking you out. She said she was a lesbian, so on and so forth. On the other hand, Megan sounds so out of it.
That it's possible.
That it's quite possible she knows not what
and
she said.
What really sort of puts me over the top with this call, though, is that she's describing a situation which really never occurs.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
I'm coming up to you, I'm telling you I'm a lesbian,
and then
now I'm checking you out and saying nice ass.
Yeah, and I'm dressing next to you with a bunch of other people
right.
In the locker room.
All right, don't believe it, Megan.
I'm not dumb, I swear.
No.
That
I believe, actually. I do believe the dumb part, but I don't believe this story.
You okay, seriously, she does. She sits right next to me, and she's, like, changing, and she looks at me, and she just goes, oh, nice bra. And it's like, thanks. And, like, she just, like, stares at my boobs.
Yeah.
My friends next to me, they even caught her.
What sport do you play?
Volleyball.
Do you have nice boobs?
I think so. I don't know.
She may have a point. Well, all right, it creeps you out.
Yeah, and I don't, like...
Can you move your locker?
Huh?
Can you change lockers?
No, because, like, Mrs. or one of the teachers, she's, like, evil, and she hates me. So.
Yeah, I got news for her. She's a lesbian, too.
Yeah, she probably is. She, like, has a really short haircut, and she doesn't have kids, and she's, like, old.
Listen, if you ever see a woman with a whistle hanging around her neck, and it's not a rape whistle, she's a lesbian. That whistle can only be used to stop rape. If it's used for the tip-off or halftime, or to signal the ball going out of bounds, lesbian. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm hearing you.
Drew, how many women historically have worn the whistle around their neck and not been lesbian?
I have no idea. I've never done that study.
I'm even wondering if the whistle makes you lesbian.
It renders you?
Yeah, it has magical powers. The magic lesbian whistle. I'm going to write a book for kids.
I can see it now. It's sort of be like the magic flute in H.R. and Puff and stuff.
Right.
A little Sid and Marty Croft land.
Yeah. That as this whistle gets passed from coach to coach, they become lesbians.
Huh?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know. Should she talk to her? She got to tell her to back off?
She could certainly just give her a gentle nudge when she, if she says anything inappropriate, like, hey, that you know, please.
Drew, you know when you go to the gym, all the gay guys are checking out your junk, though. Do you care?
No.
I don't really care, but I'd like to be compensated for it. These guys spend like a... I was reading an article.
Why don't you start walking around a jockstrap and see if they start pushing bills into your...
No, they won't do that unless we put an ATM in the locker room.
I see.
I was reading an article that almost the average gay man spends $170,000 a year on gay pornography. Mm-hmm. Seemed low to me, too. But the point is these guys spend a lot on porno. Mm. They don't have kids. They don't have hobbies like fishing.
Somehow it's more than heterosexual males. No, it's got to be exactly the same.
No.
Heterosexual males without kids, got to be the same.
On pornography?
Yeah. Must be.
It's tough.
Men are men are men.
That's a fairly valid point. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with you on that. They spend a lot on porn, and I'm just saying I'd like to see some of those dollars heading my way when I'm in the gym locker room. That's all I'm saying. Because you're checking you out.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And I don't... The fact that they pretend that they don't like it, that they always tell you that, could there be any premise that was more ridiculous than that? Could there be? Listen, you gays, you insult us when you tell us that you're checking us out. It's always the same thing. Oh, don't flatter yourself. Really? Why are you spending 6-8 hours a day at the gym? And why is the gay room, the locker room, only inhabited by gays? The straight guys go in, they do their crap, they go home and take the shower at home.
Where's the old guy with the nuts hanging around his ankles playing pool?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's at the Y.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when the bridge comes out, get that nutsack shot from behind. That's trouble. Okay. Anyway, Megan should tell her?
Just a gentle nudge. Like, hey, come on. Just
back off?
Don't say anything specific. Just... react negatively and see if she cools out.
All right. Well,
you got to get the coach to move your locker.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lisa's 22. She's calling in. Lisa?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I think I have a porn problem.
All right.
Okay.
Come to the right place.
Well, first of all, I don't know how normal it is for girls to even like porn.
It's pretty common.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not as driven by it. They don't buy it. They don't think about it all the time the way guys do. But to be...
Okay, because I do.
All right. But to be aroused by it is normal. And to go buy it, whatever, fine. That's fine.
Okay. And then the porn that I like tends to be a little more extreme than I think is normal.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like rape stuff.
Rape stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
where do you get rape porn?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, your screener was asking about it, too.
Shocking.
On the internet, you can download it. Like Morpheus and stuff, you can download.
What does that mean?
Download rape porn?
Yeah, basically.
Alrighty.
Do you mean S&M or do you mean rape?
Both, but yeah, rape.
Most porn has sort of an element of rape to it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is like simulated rape.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. So that turns you on.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you ever raped?
No.
All right.
Were you ever out of control or powerless at one time in your life? Physically abused, anything like that?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, that's
not really.
That's good enough.
Crazy. What does not really mean?
My mom was kind of controlling, but I wouldn't say abusive.
So she never raised her hand to you and ever grabbed an object and hit you or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Physical, no.
And where's your dad?
He's with my mom still.
He's okay?
Uh-huh. Right, you're fine there, Lisa.
Your relationships are okay? You have been able to have stable relationships, this sort of thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
Enjoy.
Good times. Look, we've talked about this before. I think a lot of women, who they don't really want to admit it, but they're all whores. Now, Drew just wrote that down on a piece of paper. Right? A lot of women are turned on by this sort of fantasy, the rape fantasy. I'm not saying they want to be raped.
Right. In a more sanitized version is just being swept away by somebody under the power of some powerful male, you know.
Yeah. I mean, for most women, they want to be taken by a man.
Yeah.
Now, they're picturing Fabio in half a pirate shirt. They're not picturing the toothless guy who works at the Lube and Tune.
Right.
Who's had a...
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter.
Is that his name?
Yeah, but Andy Richter wouldn't... You're saying he's a rapist?
I'm saying he looks kind of...
Like a rapist?
Not like a rapist. You know, they're not imagining somebody looks like him.
All right, Drew, again, cramping on a perfectly valid point. No, not a guy who looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. They don't want that guy raping him, but that guy's not a rapist. It's that scrawny guy with the real stringy, greasy hair and the ugly smile and the bad sunglasses. That's the rapist. That's the guy they're not fantasizing about. Yeah, they want to be swept away. And they want to be raped by a guy they're willing to have sex with anyway.
Right.
That's
right.
That's what part of that fantasy is. And then for some women, they float a little on each side of that line. Some women are not that way, and then some women are more that way.
Right.
But it's all sort of in the spectrum of normal.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Speaking of funny appearances, did you see the attorney that's represented the terrorist? Have you seen her on the news?
Who represents who? John Walker?
No. The one guy that's been indicted for the September 11th attack.
No.
Okay.
Why?
Keep your eyes open for this. I'd just love to get your thoughts.
Is it just me, or is there a lot of crazy attorneys in the last couple of months that are popping up on TV? I mean, like the one who was representing this chick in the dog mauling situation in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. She was a nutcase. Mm. There's a lot of whack jobs out there. I know. I mean, Drew never liked attorneys, and I never liked them either. But at least they kind of looked like attorneys, and they sort of acted like it. Is that falling by the wayside now?
I guess. I don't know.
There has been a lot more nuttier attorneys over the last few months and years, though, right? Yeah?
I mean, it...
Okay, Drew, you have no point?
No, it seems like it.
You think you're going to get sued?
I'm sure we are, but that's not the point.
Yeah?
But it seems like the usual propriety has changed.
Yeah.
The demeanor and the professionalism.
They used to have a $70 haircut and a $1,500 suit, and we know they were deep in their hearts were black, and they had the soul of a vermin. But at least on the outside, they look like attorneys. Now they're spinning out. Yeah. All right, I like that, though. Makes for good TV. Douglas?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a blue hair dye in my hair right now, and I was wondering if I keep on using it. Will I get like some kind of brain cancer or something like that?
No, but you can get brain damage from getting your ass kicked by jocks.
Yeah.
All right.
I know of no any kind of cancer from blue hair dye. Anderson, blue hair dye, cancer.
But they say something about bleach, though, don't they?
There's some been concerns intermittently about bleach and pregnancy, things like that, but no. Mm.
All right. Julia?
Yeah.
You're 18?
I am.
What's up?
I've been talking to this guy at work lately, and he's older than me. And we went out one time.
That's a nervous gulp.
Sorry.
That's all right. We haven't heard that in a while.
It's my first time to call. Anyways, we went out one time, and I've been over to his house a couple of times. And I like him. He's really cute, and he's kind of sexy. But he smokes pot a lot, and I don't know. I've never been around that before. Like, I've never had, like, friends that do that.
Your dad didn't drink a lot?
No. I'm from a good family.
All right. So you like the guy, but you're uncomfortable with his pot consumption.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what to think about it, because, like, it's not like he just smokes every once in a while. He's high all the time.
And he gets high in front of you?
Yeah, he has.
Why would you be attracted to a guy that's intoxicated? He's not available.
Well, she's attracted to him, but she's turned off by the weed smoking part.
Yeah, but the weed shuts him down. He's not there.
That's That's just it. I don't know.
He's cute,
like... you know.
He is. Think it through, Julie. I don't know. You just make it up for decide for yourself.
Well, women like guys who are sort of out of it and don't pay too much attention to them. Think of the opposite of a guy who's stoned. The real lucid, attentive guy.
Yeah.
Think that works with the ladies?
Hmm.
Best right. just to hang back and pretend you don't know they're in the room.
She can project whatever she wants onto him.
At 18?
But she
can try to figure him out.
If she has a modicum.
Try to break through.
Yeah, if she has a modicum of health, this relationship won't do much for her.
Well, why? He's a nice guy. He's a cute guy. He smokes the weed.
All the time.
Look, what do you talk about when you're 18 and you're dating anyway? Did you see Survivor? Yeah. That one guy's an a-hole. Uh-huh.
Oh, he's 22.
Who? Oh, he's 22?
Yeah.
All right.
22, he still works at the Arby's. Come on.
Where's he working?
He works at the restaurant that I do.
Which
nice.
One? What kind of restaurant?
It's a nice restaurant.
What's he do over there?
We're waiters.
All right. And is he baked at work?
He is sometimes, but it doesn't affect, like, his job.
Is he into you?
Yeah.
Except for when he nibbles the fries as he brings them out to the table.
No, not
you. You sure you don't smoke pot too, Julia?
I'm sure. Okay. I don't.
There's no way I could be a waiter, I now realize.
Like, if you eat everything.
If you ordered, like, the jumbo shrimp basket or something,
I'd
pop two or three.
Yeah. It's hard.
I absolutely would. I mean, it's one thing if you order the appetizer and it says, like, 5 mushroom calves, you know, loaded with crab meat or whatever. If there's a number on there, I wouldn't F around with it. But if you get something like the calamari basket where there's no way, there's no weight, there's no anything.
Game on.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Two or three a night times hundreds of baskets, chips. And then at a certain point, I start getting brazen. I just start taking bites out of the fish and chips and throwing it back in there. Steaks. They'd be doing DNA testing. I'd get fired. All right, I don't know. Tell the guy not to smoke so much weed and see if he still stays with it. Oh, but if he doesn't, break up. All right, Drew.
More ecstasy calls. We need to talk to you guys.
After this. Love Line, fastest growing LO radio in North America. We got ourselves a 50,000-watt flamethrower, kiddies. Coming at you all night, every night, except for two nights out of the week, when I stay home and masturbate, and Drew gets his ass kicked around his house by his wife. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Yeah. You ready to go? You ready to rock?
Let's go.
We have a little lightning round coming up tonight, brother.
Oh, no.
What do you say, Drew?
Please, God.
Yeah, I tell you, man, we are here to freaking kick ass and take names, huh, buddy? Oh, yeah, I'd tell you more, but I'd have to kill you. Yeah. Let's rock. You ready to rock, Drew?
I'm ready.
This is good radio. A lot of other people claim to be doing radio, but this is a real deal right here. Everyone copies us, man. We're the original show. Original show, man. Everyone's ripping us off, right, buddy?
Yeah.
Right, brother? Let's rock and roll. Let's help some freaking kids out. What do you say, brother?
Okay, bro.
Let's rock. All right, coming in next week, our guest is going to be Guy Dude Bro.
Next caller!
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on Love Line.
Yeah, I want to know why my girlfriend doesn't let me give her oral sex.
Whoa, dude! You want to give her oral?
Yeah.
Cool. Fag! Next call!
She's like, whoa.
Yeah! Dude. Hold on.
Guy, dude, bro.
You shouldn't be going down on her, dude. That's her job. You understand, man?
Robert, maybe she doesn't like it.
Yeah, well, she told me that her grandfather did something to her.
All right, well, there you go. Well,
that's
why she doesn't like it.
Dude, that's gross.
Yeah.
So gross.
And you can understand why she would have some feelings about it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so lay off.
Oh, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm a pot smoker, and Dr. Drew, you say that pot smoking reduces your sex drive?
Eventually.
It does the opposite for me.
Eventually it reduces it.
Whoa, dude.
I take a while.
Right. Dude Drew.
Yeah.
Dr. Dude Drew, does that really happen? Old dudes going down on their granddaughters? Does it?
Well, you're an uncle to a couple of kids, right?
Oh,
you know that impulse.
So gross. totally gross, man.
Dude.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine taking my little nephew's penis and put it in my mouth. It's gross, man. Dude, can't believe an old guy would do that. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Let's go, dude.
All right.
Bro.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Dude, the phone line's not working,
hold on,
bro.
Hold on. What? Wait. Just there you go.
All right. Well, don't tell me. Hey, dude. Chill. Take a chill pill, bro, dude. Guy, dude, bro.
We're in. Line two.
Lance.
Yes.
What's up, brother?
Not much.
All right. You're on the love line. We're nationwide.
What's up, Lance?
We're live and nationwide, man.
Rocking.
Yeah.
What's up, Lance?
We're all over, man. We're taking the country by storm, man. You're calling from Cincinnati. You're on line two. What's up, guy?
Hi there. I actually work with a group called DanceBase. We work in harm reduction. Basically, what we do, we go around to raves and nightclubs.
You talk people down.
We help out people who are having a bad time.
Right.
That's cool, dude.
You used to be in something like that, remember?
Dance Safe?
No, you did that.
No, I was in a band called Safety Dance.
No. You did the Safety
Dance. I did the Safety Dance,
but
yeah. When my hair was different.
Or you called for a friend, remember?
Called?
An organization that was...
No, dude. Dr. Guy, dude, bro. Drew,
yeah.
You're thinking of the Do It Now
right.
Foundation.
Do It Now.
Which I call the Dude It Now Foundation because I like to start every sentence with dude.
No more!
Yeah. Anyway, what's up, Lance?
Well, I just wanted to say that a lot of the kids who are out there who take ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
the thing is, a lot of the long-term damage can actually be alleviated or reduced by following a lot of procedures. I mean, it's just a lot of kids going to think they're not educated when they go into it.
Like
and
what?
I've seen a lot of kids who've had a lot of long-term effects, memory loss, and kind of a general mood malaise.
Yeah, and they've now sort of shown where that damage is occurring and how and why.
But, dude.
What are you suggesting as a way to reduce that?
What I'm suggesting is that if anybody decides to use any kind of substance,
mm-hmm.
that first they should be educating themselves before they do so.
Right now, the National Center on Drug Abuse, NIH, NIMH, the evidence suggests that it's a pure cumulative effect of the drug. That there really is no way to dose it or to pace it or to prevent the damaging effects. At least, no scientific proof for that yet.
Actually, there has been scientific use on using antioxidants like alpha-lipoic acid and B-complex or even A.
That has not been reproduced in the literature. That has not been at all.
Well, but listen, guy, dude, bro, what 14-year-old is going to a rave is going to, like, take some nafafaploas acid before he drops the X, bro?
They might. Some of those guys might.
They might drop some vitamin.
I've talked to tons of
where do you
people.
Get that? Where Listen, do you get that supplement,
about,
dude?
About each year, a new protective chemical comes along, and I've dealt with a lot of these kids. And actually, those end up being, in my experience, being the ones that end up with more damage because they continue to do the drug sort of believing
dude,
that
dude, because I think
themselves.
It's safe.
Right.
To really hurt in the brain, man. All right.
All right.
Let's talk to Matt. Matt's a cool name. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, dude. You're 18. You're calling from Portland, Oregon, man. You're on line three. You're on the love line, man. Taking the world and the nation by storm, dude.
Totally.
What's
Matt,
up, bro?
What's up, Matt?
What's up? I'm 18 and I'm still a virgin.
That's cool, bro.
What's the question?
Well, I was just wondering, like, what should I do? I mean... I need some help trying to get some girls.
Do you go to school?
Yeah.
You go to college?
No, not yet.
You go to high school?
Yeah.
You'll go away to college and everything will start to make sense to you. Just relax. Yeah. Be patient.
Dude, you're a senior?
Second year senior,
dude?
Yep.
I mean, what does that mean, second year senior?
Well, this is my second year.
I mean, repeating?
Dude, Dr. Dude, bro?
Yeah.
He's not going to college, bro.
Oh, I'm going to college.
I mean, are you staying?
Yeah, you're going to Barber College,
are you doing
dude. Yeah.
Are you doing a fifth year?
No, this is my second year as a senior. It's because I've been, I took a couple years off from school.
And what'd you do?
Just messing around, you know.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been in alternative schools, and I only got, like, 0.75 credits to get, and then I'm graduating.
All right, get your grades up, get out of there, get into college.
Dude, he's going to Harvard.
I don't think so.
He's some Ivy League, maybe Brown or Yale, bro.
Dude.
baby brown, bro. Dude, hold on. Dude.
Yeah.
You never nailed a Betty?
Well, I've been close, but she was really nasty, and I just couldn't do it.
Oh, man, that's cool, man. I've been there, dude. You got to drink more, bro. Then you don't care. Hey, dude, Drew, dude, you ever bring home, like, a really skanky Betty, but you're all drunk, and then you wake up the next morning, and you're, like, looking at her, and you go, bro, this chick is gnarly, and so it's like, you want to chew your arm off just to get out of bed. Dude, you know what I'm talking about?
Dude, you're getting too aggro.
Dude.
I'm laughing,
dude.
But it's a laugh.
Dude, I done it. I admit it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We've all been there, right?
Hmm.
Oh, man. Nick.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, man, I was totally wasted. I brought home this fat chick, man.
All right,
oh, man. Oh,
what's
dude.
Up, Nick?
I
had my beer goggles.
Smoking, I've taken
beer goggles wrong, man.
Times.
Yeah.
And,
you took hang on, I can't hear you. What was that?
I've taken ecstasy a bunch of times, and I've actually tried snorting it a few times.
Right.
And I was wondering what that does to your brain versus taking it.
It's about the same. Maybe a little quicker in terms of delivery to your system, but it's the same thing.
I also was wondering about mushrooms and how they affected your body, if anything.
Mushrooms, you know how you feel like you had the crap kicked out of you after you use them? Same thing with ecstasy.
Yeah.
The thinking,
like all irritated and stuff.
Yeah, that suggests that there's been some depletion or maybe it's been stressful to your system. And it probably is, although I've never seen a long-term effect from mushroom.
Well, mushrooms hurts.
Where'd the other guy?
The next
what are you doing here?
Laugh. What?
Where'd the other guy go?
Oh. Dude! And Nick, you know why? Because they're going to air this in the San Diego. They're going
to
air the...
Are you just, you're just waking up to that?
No, I know, but it's... I don't know.
You were the other guy all the way through the last call.
They're going to be sitting in San Diego. This Corolla. Such a hump.
Yeah, right on.
All right, dude, guy, bro.
Thanks for taking my call,
all right,
Adam.
Dude, bro. Hey, no problem. Hey, dude. You're cool, dude.
You're cool, too,
right,
Adam. You're,
all right, dude.
You're my hero. I love you.
Thanks, bro.
You're
thanks,
cool
bro.
Too,
thanks, dude.
Thanks,
bro. Thanks, bro. Thanks, dude. Dude. I like the guys who don't use the dude that much, but they use it when they're serious about something.
Dude.
This is the guy pulls you aside at the party. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
After you've been drinking a little too much, you're at the frat party, you've been like eyeballing this one guy, and he pulls you aside and he goes, dude, this guy is junior varsity lacrosse. He will kick your ass, bro. Dude, seriously, maintain. I like that one. I like the guy. It's the judicious use of dude.
I'm serious.
He pulls it out when he needs to really underline a point. This is when he's trying to get laid. It's two conversations. One is there's three. You're too effed up to drive. Dude, seriously, give me the keys, bro. You're no shape there. There's that one. And then there's the dude, the guy's junior varsity lacrosse. He'll kick your ass
right.
And you get your ass kicked. And then there's the one where I got to get laid. Dude, seriously, I need to use your garage. Dude, you don't understand. You don't even understand.
You have to
I need
for
access
to
for the garage. I need to get in there.
There has to be at least a six-pack under belt for the dude to be meaningful.
So it's important to bring up something, too. Dude, remember when we were at the lake and I saw you blowing Kurt and I didn't say anything? Seriously, dude, it's payback time. I need to use your folks' garage. Okay, bro.
Good times.
Gwen?
Hello?
22?
This is Megan.
Megan.
Yeah.
All right, Megan, what's up?
Okay, here's the thing. I have a friend, a male friend, who we've been talking for like 4 months now.
How old are you?
22.
Okay.
He's 26. His ex-girlfriend just moved out at the beginning of this month, so she's been out of that house for like 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And he like started hitting on me, so we started getting a little serious, and all of a sudden he's all like, well, now me and my girlfriend are gonna get back together.
Wait a minute, what does him trying to have sex with you mean he's getting serious?
Well, we've already had sex.
I know, but where's the serious come in?
Just like taking me over to his parents' house, having me hang around with his family, telling me he wants me to take it to the next level.
Don't you think there is some risk, though, when a guy's out of a relationship 2 weeks, that relationship could get back together again?
Well, Yeah, I knew that. But we were friends for like 4 months before that, and I was helping him through this breakup.
Oh, helping him through.
Yeah, there's always a triangle in this stuff. She's the bitch. She's the pain in the ass. She's a bad person.
See, I don't have anything against her.
I know, but from his point of view, she was terrible. She didn't get me what I needed.
Dude, how long were they together?
Two years.
Like the dude who calls the chick dude, too. 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a pretty long haul. First breakup in 2 years?
His? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
2 years. I got to work this out. One of these days I'm going to chart it. But 1 year, up to 1 year, you can have a breakup and just break up.
Yeah, 2 years you got
to. Up to about 9 months.
You got to stutter.
Two months, you got to. You got to. It's like the triple jump.
Yeah.
You got to take a little skip.
You got to get back together for a while and then screw up and then get back together again and then you're
done.
Yeah,
but you'll break up sooner.
Yes.
So it's like you're together for 2 years, you break up. You're broken up for a couple weeks. You get back together for like
two months.
Yeah, 2-3 months.
Break up for a month.
Yeah, and then you get a BJ.
Yeah.
One BJ, and then that's it.
Okay, so here's the question. He said he still wants to be really good friends, and he still puts the moves on me every now and then.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's kind of an idiot, this guy.
Yeah. He's not your friend.
And you like him because he's just sort of unavailable.
Yeah, or he's hot or whatever, but he's not your friend.
What about just finding a guy who's available for you?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you're lonely, right? You want a guy?
Not that I'm lonely, I just...
You've been waiting for this guy for 4 years, that's why you were friends with him.
Kind of, but it was...
Of course.
He was just like one of those friends where you can always talk to, and now...
No, he was a friend you were attracted to, and had he been attracted to you sooner, you would have been the one that was the girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't he get you two years ago?
We were never attracted to each other at all
Dr. Dude begs your pardon. Please.
You were attracted to him, he just wasn't reciprocating.
How dare you try to pull that over on us.
No, not at the beginning, no.
You think we're your squirrely friends from junior college? How dare you?
But we know what's going on. Yeah, we were attracted to each other.
Well, now he's reciprocating because he's desperate and hurting and all this stuff.
So here's the thing. Should I continue the relationship or should I just break it?
What relationship? He's back together with her.
Well, I mean, our friendship.
Well, you're not interested in being friends
anyway.
And
he's not your friend. He's not treating you like a friend.
Yeah, I know.
And he's just going to have sex with you again, right?
Yeah, he's already tried.
All right, that's all he wants.
All right.
He doesn't want the friendship.
All right. Now listen. Now don't feel you have to correct him. Don't do that thing where you somehow magically figure out that you need to tell
fix him
his girl what's
yes.
going on.
Ugh.
Sabotage this. It's just going to screw things up. It's going to cause a big dance. Just get out.
Well, I was the one who told him to go back to his girlfriend.
Yeah, but don't tell her what he's doing with you.
Why'd you tell him to go back?
Because I can tell he was unhappy.
Yeah.
And I can't see a friend unhappy.
No, you're praying. You just said, go back to him so you could say, I said go back to you, and so you could sound secure because you knew he wasn't that interested in you. They didn't share the feelings that you had for him. And you wanted to sound stoic about it.
Probably.
All right, guy, dude, bro. All right, baby, thanks for being honest.
Yeah, well.
Finally.
All right.
Finally.
Drew, is there a worse show to call into?
Not if you want to feel good when you're done.
All right. Well, look, the point is that she's wasting her time. And I know this is so amazingly attractive, so attractive to a woman to see a guy who's this way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Women, I was talking about this at the man show office the other day. I was talking, we have a super cute young assistant.
I called Jimmy today and she answered the phone. This girl
sounds... Oh, I'm talking about dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. But the one that Jimmy farts up all the time?
Yeah, yeah, Carrie.
She's got to weigh all of 95 pounds and be about 4'8".
No.
She's just on the phone, sounds like a tiny person. I just imagine her walking into that room.
She has an impish little voice, yeah.
And being destroyed by you guys.
Well, Jimmy farts up the office pretty good, and then she storms in with some paperwork and walks right into his cloud. And I always just sit at my desk, and I just, in my head, 3, 2, 1. Usually between 2 and 1, I see the face start to come on to her. Nothing verbal yet, just that, what's up face. Like, the first look when you walk into a cloud of someone else's fart is confusion.
I brought up to Jimmy, and he goes, yeah, I know, what do you got to do? He was trying to defend himself. Didn't have nothing.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, he blew a big fart in there, and she walked in, and then she left, and then, you know, holding her nose, and then 5 minutes later, came in for something else and walked right into it, right over to his desk, and he was just sitting at his desk farting. Yeah, they have whole meetings with guys with shirts up over their heads. Shields up, the word goes out. Shields up, everyone sings, comes up. And then just more arguments with the thing up, but not even talking about the farting.
There needs to be a man show documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the man show. Shoot behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was telling her she's interested in this guy, and, you know, the guy's playing a little hard to get.
Mm.
The guy doesn't sound like a great guy.
Of course not.
But she's cute and young and single and everything, and just can't accept the fact that he doesn't seem like he's that into her, mm-hmm. is completely intrigued. And I was saying that women, you know, I was explaining that they were sort of like cats. If you want to get a woman, you hold still. You don't go chasing after them. They jump up on the refrigerator and avoid you. Just sort of sit where you are and put your hand there. Mm-hmm. They get a little intrigued, then they come by. You know, cats are sort of bred to pursue and chase something that scurries right. along the floor.
Right.
Now, what's scurrying along the floor is a cockroach.
Right.
That the cat doesn't really want to eat.
Right, and the cockroach doesn't know the cat's there.
But when the movement, the cat is attracted by the movement and must pursue.
Mm-hmm.
It just has that, it's inbred to pursue. It's not the result. What do you do once you catch the roach?
Another cockroach.
You eat the roach? Is it delicious? You know what I mean? Women will do this with guys.
Yeah.
You can get a woman to be attracted to you and pay attention to you just by doing the right thing. She cannot help it. And after a while, she'll be pursuing you, and she doesn't even know why she's pursuing you. She wouldn't be into you if you just showed up and turned the lights on and laid your cards on the table.
Right.
But it's more about the dance. God bless you. Whereas men, it has nothing to do with that. We want to see what we're chasing. And we'll chase it hard if it's worth eating.
Well, the easier it is to capture, the more likely you are to go after it.
Yeah, less calories burned. That means I could catch another one. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey. Love line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Drew had a rough day, kitty, so yeah. Take it easy on him. Got his ass kicked around like a beach ball, the Dodger game.
Ball.
Yeah. Tough day.
Really bad.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
Hmm.
You know, I hate sick people. I really do. So let me just explain. Drew has to deal with people who deal with the doctor all the time, and I was going to say half, but that's too generous. I'd say about a third of the people who go in and see their doctor with any regularity have legitimate problems, and the other two-thirds are just a royal pain in the ass. The people I know and the people I like magically almost never have to see the doctor, and then there's the idiots that are just going in for one reason or another, and I hate those people. And, Drew, you see nothing but those people, and you have to be nice to them, and that's a horrible... horrible job. Jay?
Yeah, what's going on?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not a lot. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question for Drew, and I actually had a little request. First of all, I want to know, what is the reason that they consider alcohol an addiction or a disease rather than just like an addiction? I don't understand why.
Why is that a disease?
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Why is it classified as a disease?
Why is addiction a disease?
Yeah. That's what I'm, you know, you hear it on the commercial.
Alcoholism.
Stuff. Alcohol is a treatable disease or whatever.
Alcoholism and addiction, it's the same thing. There's no difference. Addiction.
Okay. But why is it classified as a disease?
Right, and how come you couldn't say, like, okay, I'm a pot smoker, I'm addicted to pot or whatever. Pot is a disease.
Any addiction is a disease. It's all the same thing.
You can
it's
cause
whether you're addicted to speed, cocaine, pot, alcohol.
So the good news is
all addiction.
You get to fall under the disease heading too, Jay.
It's all the basic, all the same basic genetic chemistry. It's the same basic biology. It's just what your drug of choice is. It sort of has to do with what you're looking for in terms of the mood alteration.
Oh, okay.
That's how you get going with a particular.
But why does it get classified as a disease?
Well,
what's the definition?
Well, Adam, the way you have to approach that is you have to define disease first.
Right.
Because how can you know something's a disease? You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What's the definition?
The definition of disease is a complex relationship between, you really want this? You ready?
Just give it to me, would you?
All right, between the genetics of this, the substrate, the individual, and the environment that come together in such a way as to create an abnormal state of physiology, pathophysiology. The presence of pathophysiology will be reflected in signs and symptoms that progress in a predictable pattern called a natural history, and the natural history will have a predictable response to treatment.
All
that's
right.
Disease.
Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
And then addiction fits perfectly in that
definition. Is there, I understand, but is there, but it involves a sort of a third party. You know what I mean? Whereas I think that's the part that confuses people.
What confuses people is that when you don't have the disease, you use your willpower to decide when to use drug. And even addicts have periods in their life before the disease really gets going when they can choose to use or not
no,
use.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it involves a substance. And when there's other diseases that people think of, it's not involuntarily ingested.
Initiated. It's not initiated. By
not initiated. People.
But it is. I mean, if you get in a car accident or something, or if you get, you know, there's tons of behavior.
And they give you morphine. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, you break your arm. That's a disease process. You know,
it is.
But you contributed to it with behavior.
But you wouldn't, a broken arm's not a disease, is it? It's not considered a disease.
It's a pathophysiology that has a natural history to it, has a treatment.
But it doesn't fall, no one ever calls it a disease.
Mm.
No. True, please.
An injury can be considered.
Dude.
Dr. Dude, bro. I mean, it's the...
I'm just saying, is there any other thing that falls under the heading of disease that involves you ingesting a product that is not, or involves an
food?
Outside product?
Food.
Eating disorder.
No,
is that a disease?
Yes.
That is.
How about depression? Is that a disease?
Well, but that doesn't involve you bringing something into your system.
But there are a ton. But you're trying to get an effect from something, and that something then causes a disease.
All right. Well, that's your answer. Your answer, food, would be it.
Right. I was going to say food, ingest oral fecal stuff. But there's got to be stuff where you are.
You're saying an eating disorder. Now, what about eating disorder? Is that a disease?
That's also a disease.
Okay. All right. All right, Jay. Don't ever call again. That was a horrible conversation I just had with Drew.
I promise to never call again if you do one thing for me.
What?
Give me the temperature report for California.
Oh, really?
I have to hear it, dude.
Right. He's going to do it in about 10 minutes, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate it.
Let me work it out. I'll give you the temperature. This is important. It's important, especially for L.A. Because it can vary. I mean, you...
3-4 degrees sometimes.
Yeah. Well, like, take tonight, for instance. Hollywood, 63. Encino, 60.
And the report?
Chatsworth, 61.
Late night, early morning, low crowds.
Low crowds, yeah, clearing up. Going to be warm. Yeah. Hey, if it's cold, take a sweater. I like when they start giving you tips on apparel. You may want to take a sweater. Yeah, thanks, a-hole. I was going to go out nude, just greased up with Vaseline. But you're saying I should actually put some articles of clothing on before I leave my home? Shocking. Hold on, slow down. I got to write this down. What about underpants? What? They tell you to take a sweater when it's going to be cold. What about the days when it's like 108? What do? Just put a corn cob up your ass. That's it. You go out nude.
That's it?
You have hirachis and a corn cob forced up your rectum. That's all I want to see you wear. You know why? Because L.A., oh, God. The news, just weather needs to be eliminated in this town. And the people that report on it obviously need to just be all rounded up and shot in a big yes, no, mass grave, not even the dignity of their own headstone. For wasting our time constantly.
Dallas Raines was a patient of mine for a while. One of the nicest
bullet guys in a mass grave.
Ever met.
Mass grave. I like Dallas. I'll put him on top of the mass grave.
Right.
I want to have Fritz Coleman. Penis up his ass for eternity.
Let's go.
I've had enough of these guys. I've had enough. They do nothing.
Just a couple calls.
They do nothing.
Here we go.
Dude, what do they do?
Nothing. Let's go. Couple calls.
Hey, take a sweater. Hey, thanks, jack off. Have they ever done anything? They do nothing. They do zero. And you take these guys, and I take the traffic guys, and I dig the mass grave.
Hey, Jeff, what's
That's where they're going.
15. Jeff? Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey.
I just want to say I love the Man Show.
Great. Thank you.
And I used to go to raves, like, for a while, and I did, ecstasy a couple times, but mm-hmm. I mainly did, like, KA a lot.
Right.
And I want to know, like, what long-term effects I'm going to be facing.
From ketamine?
Yeah.
Or from the Actually, the ecstasy is probably, even though you may have done it less, probably worse for you than the ketamine. Ketamine, it's not entirely clear what it does to you if you survive the use. I have seen a few people that got strung out and use a lot of ketamine, and it seems that they have some mood disturbances and some personality changes, but that's actually not been well documented yet. So we don't know for sure. The ecstasy, the main thing is these mood disturbances and memory problems.
Hey, Jeff, you're 15, though. Can you slow it down a notch?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it really worries me. That, you know, that you're spending so much time with the drugs and you have the preoccupation with it and you're 15.
Well, right now I like quit doing that stuff. I just like smoke weed.
Just graduated pot only.
Even that, I mean.
At 15.
Why put that kind of stress on your brain? Why put that kind of mileage on it?
At 15, it actually has been shown at 14, 15, 16 to prevent the actual growth of the part of the brain that you use to develop. So the process of emotional development in adolescent actually can't occur. So you become dependent on the weed in order to manage unpleasant feelings or just life. That's the real risk of being addicted to pot right now.
Is it going to be really hard to get off pot?
Yeah, it's hard. It's easier when you're 15, 16, actually. Adolescents have a little different
time. Yeah, you stick with it for another few years, and it's going to be real hard. So why don't you just do it now when it's going to be a little easier? Kim?
Yes.
Kim, you're 42. What's up?
Hi, how are you, Adam?
Hey, good.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. First, Adam, I have a comment for you, and then I have a question for Dr. Drew, if you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I was listening to the show, and there was some guy that called in, and he just went off on you about your ranting.
Right.
I just want to tell you that I love your ranting.
Thank you, baby.
And I love the Man Show. Oh, I love
shut
the
up,
show.
Damn it!
She's wow. scaring me now.
You're a good woman, Kim.
Thank you. And I love race cars, too. And I have my own race car.
What kind?
I've got a Z28.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A Camaro.
I got two of them, actually.
Wow. What, and you race like a dirt track?
No, I race like at a drag racing. We got Edgewater.
Oh,
Edgewater Raceway.
Straight line, a quarter mile.
Yeah, I love it.
What do you got into the engine?
Well, I've got a 350 LT1 engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stock right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, cause we sold our other, we had a 68 Firebird.
Yeah.
And, we sold that, and, I got this other Camaro, the newer Z.
Yeah, that LT1 is pretty good motor there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, my car gets up and goes.
All right, babe. What kind of times you turning in the quarter mile? About 13 and a half, 14?
No, I'm trying to get down to 13. I've made it to 14.2.
All right, that's not bad.
Two-tenths of a second. I got to get down.
You got to get down.
I got to get down. To go down to the track.
Kim, you got to be one of those thrill addicts.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, and you come from an alcoholic family, and you're not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you got that gene going.
No.
Oh, no. I'm not. I don't even drink.
That's what I'm saying. You've turned to thrill as opposed to the alcohol. That's another way of activating that same.
Oh, really?
Chemistry. Yeah.
Well, hold on a second, Drew.
I mean, because my husband loves racing too. My brother-in-law, he owns a funny car and a dragster.
Yeah.
Races them. He goes all over the country.
Yeah, but he's not a 42-year-old female. That's really
how dare you, Drew. And by the way,
how dare you? That's right.
It's just
blowing through the traps at 14.2 and 94 miles an hour is not exactly a thrill gene.
Yeah, okay, but that's what I do down at the track. That's not what I do on the highway and on the roads I'm off the road.
All right, baby.
And I know there's no cops around. I've had that thing up to 140.
Wow.
All right, what's your question?
Okay, Drew, I just want to know what your opinion is on ecstasy, just trying it just one time like Adam said he did. I'm just curious.
Oh,
you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, all right, all right. You want to take the axe and see if you can shave something off your ETAs?
Oh, no, 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 no.
All right.
Some from one use and a 42-year-old, we don't know. Don't know.
You could try it once.
Probably.
But here's the thing.
You said it didn't.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Shirley Muldowney, shut up for a second and listen to me.
Okay.
What if you liked it a lot?
I doubt it because it isn't.
All right. Well, then if you doubt it, then. See, it's a little catch-22. It's like either you're going to vomit in the back of that IROC of yours.
Oh, no, I am an iron weight like you.
Yeah, heavyweight. All right. But I'm saying, either it's not going to agree with you that much, you're not really going to like it, or you're really going to love it, in which case you're going to keep doing it, and that's not good either. So what do you have to do?
What's the point? And, boy, it's going to be impressive for her kids. We're going to use that as just great fodder to justify their behavior.
But if she can get that quarter mile time down into like the mid 13s,
Drew, yeah,
she's really going to impress those kids.
Mm, sure.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take, Drew, you know what I'm talking about? You know what that LT1 350 is, do you?
No.
Chevy 350.
Okay.
Small block.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Good man. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew, board certified. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hop back to phones. Let's talk to Josh, and then after we talk to Josh, I'll give the weather out. Let me say there. Josh?
Yeah.
18?
Yes, ma'am.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm seeing this girl right now. She's a sophomore in high school, and she's turned 16 in a couple months, and I don't really want to. Like, her parents seem like it's okay to date other older guys and stuff, and I don't really think that's, like, a cool thing. I mean, she, like, her...
How old are you? You're 18?
Yeah. And her sister's, like, been dating this, like, older guy that's, like, 26, and she just turned 19, and they've been dating for, like, 3 years. And they didn't really care about, like, the whole older guy relationship thing, but just because I'm 18, I think it's, like... I got a conscience, kind of, like, totally illegal. I mean...
Are you having sex with your girlfriend?
No, but, like, if I did, that's what the problem was.
All right, well, why don't you hold back a little bit?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. And just, like, not dating her at all, I mean, I really want to be good friends, just...
What's your question, then?
Well, I don't know if I should date her or just date her and just not have sexual relations.
Date her and don't have sex.
Yeah.
Is that right? Hey, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. We got to break in with weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like every other goddamn radio station I listen to. Let me check it out here. Tustin coming in 56. Bellflower checking in 57. Encino 57. Glendale 57. Thousand Oaks 57. Gardena 57. Hawaiian Gardens is a surprise here at 57. And Panorama City checking in at 57. 57 degrees. You may want to bring a sweater. And if you're going to wear socks, put them on first. Put shoes on the outside of the socks. We'll be checking out some sports scores. Dodgers, sixth game of the year. Tied.
Tied. Some breaking news in Cerritos.
Oh, Cerritos.
We're at 59 degrees right now.
Oh, geez, Cerritos just checking in. Yeah, no longer 57. Mercury climbing all the way up to 59. May want to grab a sweater or sweatshirt or something else to put over your hairy, naked, ugly, zip-filled body.
Sig alert in the number two lane.
Traffic, look out for brake lights on the 118. Slow and go.
Mattress.
Slow and go. Mattress in the number four lane. And also watch out on the 210 and the harbor where the exchange is more slow and go. Look out for brake lights. And usual traffic on the 405 for this time and this season. So look out for what normally is every day. All right, you want to keep an eye open for that. Watch out for brake lights again. Like I said, Tustin checking in at 56. Bellflower coming in at 57. Encino 57. Glendale 57. Thousand Oaks 57. Gardena 57. Hawaiian Garden 57. Panorama 57 degrees. All right, so grab a sweater out there. Drew, more traffic? Well, more traffic and weather when we come back. We're going to take a break. We're going to do...
On the ones.
We're going to run commercials and then more goddamn traffic! And more weather!
And then what we're going to do is we're going to come back, we're going to check in again, there's more traffic, more weather, traffic. Encino, by the way, just call up Encino, it's at 57 degrees, checking in there, slow and go on the 405. Look out for brake lights around the airport there, and this just in, the 110, moving like it always does, regular speed over there. Of course, this time of night, it's going to be moving on, pretty good, Glendale coming at 57, Thousand Oaks 57, Gardena 57, Hawaiian Garden 57, Panorama 57 degrees, take a sweater out there. All right, Drew, what do you say, more traffic, more weather. We come back. Well, let's take a quick call, and then it's just more traffic and more weather. More weather, more traffic, more calls. Commercials, then more traffic and weather. We got to cut in. True. I mean, am I right, or am I just nuts? I can't listen to goddamn radio anymore. I love talk radio, but it's traffic and weather. Hey, we got a guy up in a helicopter. He's looking at the 405. He's telling him to look out for brake lights. There's brake lights coming in there. Mattress at number 3 light over there. And, yeah, he's up there. Captain Bob, what do you say? Tustin coming in at 57. Bellflower, 57. Encino, 57. Glendale, 57. Thousand Oaks, 57. Gardena, 57. Hawaiian Gardens, 57. Panorama, 57. You may want to bring yourself a sweater. And this weather report brought to you by the Southern California Mercedes. Thank you, Captain Bob. Thank you very much. Yeah, fantastic.
One of my favorite things when the morning news, local morning news, has a helicopter out and it's grounded because of fog. They still cut to the helicopter to give the traffic and weather.
I'm standing next to the helicopter.
Yeah. Nope, the inside.
I'm in a helicopter and it's running, but we're out in the parking lot of the news building.
Yes.
Had we been in the air, here's what we have to say. 57 in Tustin, Bellflower checking in 57. It's seen on Glendale, 57 degrees. Slow and going, the 405. Look out for brake lights and usual traffic about this time on the 110. All right, mattress in number 4 lane, and watch out on the 4-level exchange. All right, thank you. Thanks. Any more we could use? How about you tell us the sign of dead people that we don't know? Wouldn't that be some information we couldn't use as well?
It'd consume a little time. It'd be good.
Drew, when was the last time you're heading out of the house and found out it was 57 degrees? Had to head back in. Jesus Christ, I was wearing a chamois.
A loincloth.
It was a loincloth. And then one other time, I was heading out and I was wearing foil. I covered my complete body. What I did is I rubbed my body down with Bengay, and then I wrapped myself in foil. And I was leaving the house. They told me it was going to be hot, so I went back in.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't want to be hot in that foil.
Sure, of course not.
Sure. I didn't know that. Another time, I'd lit myself on fire before I headed out of the house, and they told me it was going to be mercury was going to be rising in the valley. It was going to be 96 degrees. I headed back in. I put shorts on. I extinguished myself. I put shorts on. Another time, I'd frozen my head in a block of ice. Solid block of ice. And then I heard through a hole that I punched in the side of the block of the ice from my ear, heard it was going to be a little bit cool, I should bring a sweater. So I thawed the ice, put a sweater on.
See how that helps you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's nothing but great pertinent information.
Dave, 22.
Dave?
Hello?
Yeah, okay. 22.
Hi, I was in a car accident back in 98, and I broke my back.
Oh, man.
And I have to put on a glove and remove my feces from my anal cavity.
So you're a spinal cord injury?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're a quadriplegic?
No.
Or a paraplegic?
No.
Well, what's your level?
My level.
What level is the injury?
Liar, whore, you know it.
L1. I don't know what level or anything. They took out my vertebrae, and put in metal. But I have long fingernails, and when I take out my feces, it bleeds.
Yeah.
And
well,
I was wondering if that could cause any more injury.
No.
No?
No.
Huh.
No, you should grow them even longer, like a black secretary. You know those 40-year-old black chicks with the crazy long nails and the unicorn drawings on them? Yeah, you should grow it that long. Put it right up your ass.
Oh, wow, fun.
All right there, buddy.
All right.
All right, good times.
Thank you.
Good times.
That was a bogus call.
Oh, Drew, what about removing your fecal matter with a glove?
Yeah, some people have to do that.
How's that work?
You just reach and pull it out.
How's that work?
What do you mean?
You just reach and pull it out?
You got to dig it out. Yeah.
You can't extrude it?
Oh, some people can, but there are people that have to dig out. Or have their nurses do it. Oh, I've dug out many an impaction in my time.
Have you?
Many.
Many? Jesus Christ. That makes you gay, though. Does that make you gay?
What?
Yeah. I think it makes you gay. Was it a dude?
Deal with the fact that I am gay?
It's been both. I must be bi.
Dude, you picking poo out of a dude's ass? Whoa, bro.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh no.
Next time when we meet, spare me the handshake. It's you know what I'm saying, dude?
Multiple personality night. Thank you.
Drew, seriously, why do you have to pick the fecal matter out of your patient's ass again?
It depends what the injuries are, what the situation is. Some people are elderly and can't get it out.
All right, but if you were paralyzed, might you be paralyzed in such a way where you didn't have the bowel?
No, most people have bowel sort of programs that they get things moving properly. Things kind of move out on their own.
Oh, they do. Yeah. I mean, that's something where you don't need all the muscles working.
No.
So you could be paralyzed, and for the most part, those muscles would go sort of like, you know, your heart beats when you're asleep. I mean, you don't have to think about it.
I mean, you have to keep it loose enough that it kind of comes out on its own.
What I'm saying is you might get it started with your hand, but you wouldn't clean it out. I mean, you wouldn't empty it.
Some people do.
How do you get your hand up there?
Well, they probably have to have a nurse do it if they got really in trouble.
Oh, but it's not a daily thing.
Wait till you get to be about 80 years old. You're going to be quite a trip. Some people do that regularly.
Drew, you better hope I don't get to 80 because you'll be 150 when I'm 80.
I better hope we don't know each other because what a fest you're going to be. Oh.
Why? I bet you think I'm going to complain more?
Oh, my God.
Well, if people would just stop being so goddamn stupid, I wouldn't have to complain all the time. You know? All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. But that's it. I still think I could squeeze in some more temperatures.
Oh, please do.
Well, just put a sweater put a sweater. Put a sweater. It's 60 everywhere in the United States. Just put a sweater. I want to thank producer Ann for doing a great job all week. Booking a bunch of good guests. And a bunch of good ones coming up next week. Tony Hawk and Jeremy Piven, Donna D'Arco, Nikki Six. I want to thank Damien for doing a fine job on the phones all week. And Tara, don't call me Tara, goddamn, for doing a great job on the phones. And Lauren for showing up every once in a while and filling Ann's big bra. And I also want to thank, of course, Engineer Anderson with the magic fingers on those potentiometers. Now, so, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Taking my little nephew's a penis and put it in my mouth.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.